We will continue our stewardship series this week with the third sermon, Actively Participate in the Blessing. The S word, stewardship, is about more than money. Stewardship is trusting the living God to help us fight the good fight of faith by actively participating in the blessing of being His child. We now join Pastor Randy.
Well, listen, I just need to say something before I go any further. I'd like a rematch. This road got in the way. I believe I could have taken the kids. Now, I don't know if all of you did this when you were in elementary school, but one of my favorite, now, and I know everybody up north calls it gym class. Down south, we call it PE, physical education. Whether you call it PE or gym class, one of my favorite things to do is the parachute. Anybody else use the parachute in gym? I love the parachute. You can do so many things with the parachute. That was one of the funnest things we did. You put a ball on top, see if you can bounce it off. I like the one where you put it up over your head and you sit down and the canopy is filled with air. I think that is so cool. I still think that's cool. Do you know the church owns a parachute like that you can play with? I'm just saying. Maybe something fun we can do at choir. You know what else I liked in gym class? I really loved participating in dodgeball. I don't know that everybody does dodgeball anymore. Apparently it might be dangerous. I don't know. But the thrill of dodgeball was awesome. And of course, you know, you let the little people that run fast go first. You just hang out in the back, especially if you're a big person, right? Hang out in the back, wait for a ball to come back to you, and then you lob somebody and you get them. Dodgeball. I loved dodgeball. You know what I didn't much care for? Square dancing. Square dancing was just not my jam. And if you look the faces of some of the boys in this picture, that you know what they're doing. They're what I like to call passively participating. Hate's a strong word, but I'll go with it. I hated it. And it was all over my face. Like, there's just no fixing my face. I didn't have Amy around to tell me to fix my face. I just did not care for square dancing at all. You know, sometimes we must passively participate in some things we don't want to do so that we can actively participate in the other things we do want to do. Kind of like we're slugging through a stewardship sermon series, for which I appreciate it. You know, in today's scripture lesson, the Apostle Paul shares with us a key stewardship principle. But just as you excel in everything, it's the next slide. Just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness of your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. That next bullet should appear. See also that you excel in the grace of giving. Now that word excel is also translated as abound, more than enough, or my favorite translation, superabundance, which sounds like a superhero. Superabundance. The Corinthian church was well known for their faithfulness, their preachers, their knowledge, and their earnestness and love. They abounded in these grace gifts. They had a superabundance of them, but in the grace of giving, not so much. They, like most of us, feared the S word, stewardship. They were continuing to grow in all of these other aspects of faith, but they were content to remain stagnant in their giving, which is why Paul encouraged them to excel in the grace of giving. So why should we excel in the grace of giving? We should excel in the grace of giving because we actively participate in the blessing of being God's child. You're a child of God. I am a child of God. And when we participate in this, we are blessed. And God has given us grace gifts to use as His children. Can we use our grace gifts passively? Yes, we can. Will passively participating grow these gifts we've been given? Well, maybe a little. But the more that we actively participate, the more that we plug into that rope that we're pulling on against others, if you will, the more that we plug in to the blessings we've been given, the more we will grow in our faith development. And that's our capacity to love God and love our neighbor. That's why for the last 3 weeks I have said and keep saying that the S word, stewardship, is not about money. Stewardship is trusting the living God to help us fight the good fight of faith by actively participating in the blessing of being his child. By the way, I don't know if y'all have noticed this. It's subtle, but the sentence keeps expanding. Why? Probably because my writing is almost as long-winded as my sermons. Because we're building on an idea. Stewardship is trusting a God we cannot control instead of making something in our life into a God that we can control. Stewardship is fighting the good fight of faith, which helps us overcome our tendency toward accumulating stuff that we can't take with us when we die. And it writes upon the fabric of our souls the ways of God that we do take with us when we die. And stewardship is actively participating in the blessing of being God's child. And if you don't know this, beloved, God has blessed us immeasurably. One of my favorite prayers from all of Scripture comes from chapter 3 of Ephesians when Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Through Jesus Christ, we become children of God, a God that can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. A God who can do that because he is infinite. We are finite. But God's infinite power is at work within us, beckoning us to actively participate in the blessing of being his child, so that we can live this life to the fullest by learning how to love him and love others. As God's children in the United Methodist Church, when we join the church, we vow to uphold the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. We promise to be active participants in the salvation we've been given. I love this passage that Paul writes in Philippians. He says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." In other words, just because you gave your life to the Lord on this day doesn't mean it's all over. Right? You're not saved and it's done. Whew, I'm glad I got that done. Now I can go back and do whatever I want to. That's not how it works. Salvation is something we develop. We walk with Jesus. We're walking with him all the days of our life. We grow in the ways of heaven while we walk on earth. Jesus is the author and the source of our salvation. And we're called to actively participate in the blessing. So, how? How can we actively participate in the blessing? We can actively participate in the blessing of our salvation when we give from what we've been given. When we give from what we've been given. And listen, if you didn't know, that's great news. That is great news. Because though God can give more than we can ask or imagine, God does not ask the same from us. And that's good news. God simply asks that we give from what we've been given, both in our financial gifts and in our service. Paul writes in today's lesson, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is accepted according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." When we are willing to actively participate with our gifts and our service, God is going to equip us according to what he's given us, not what he hasn't. And I think that's great news. If no one has ever told you this, then let me be the first. God has gifted you to be of service in his kingdom. You are never too young to serve in God's kingdom. You are never too old to serve in God's kingdom. David struck down a giant named Goliath, he was 13. Moses didn't really get to work until he was 80. You're never too young or too old to serve. It's all about your willingness to give. Now, I want to tell you the story about my cousin. And I want to start, before I say anything else, I want to say she is a dearly beloved child of God, wonderful mother, grandmother now. My cousin is the loudest, worst singer I have ever heard. She might be the only Bennett that cannot carry a tune in a bucket. She's terrible. I mean, and she's got a voice that carries, right? So she's got a loud voice like I have, and it can carry over an entire congregation. It can fill any room. It can cut through any noise, but not in a good way. When it's time to sing the hymns, you can hear her singing loudly over the psalm leader that's using the microphone. Now, has God gifted her to sing in the chancel choir? Probably not. But He has gifted her with many other gifts, including the gift of hospitality, a gift that she shares in common with our mama. And she's willing to give all she has, including during the singing of hymns. And that's what I love about her. And I know that God treasures her moments of worship to Him because she's making a joyful noise. And she's willing to make herself vulnerable enough to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And that's what the Lord loves. When we are vulnerable enough to be willing to do it. When we're vulnerable enough to be willing to all of us grab on one side of this rope and pull as the pastor who can deadlift 450 takes you on. Right? It's a willingness to do it. She gives what she has to offer. She's vulnerable. And vulnerability is essential to any healthy relationship, especially as we actively participate in being the blessing of God's child. Jesus modeled for us the vulnerability that He desires in our relationship. As reminded in today's scripture lesson, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich." Jesus gave it all. And when we're talking rich, we're not talking about monetary possessions. He gave it all. And He had it all to give because He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But He didn't have to. He chose to. He chose to give it all. So richly did Jesus give that His sacrifice wasn't just a turning point in history. It's not something that just changed the way the calendar works. It's a blessing of His riches that have been multiplied throughout the generations, because every believer receives the gift of eternity and the gifts that are intended to bless the kingdom of God in their generation and the generations to come, both financially and in service. Take a moment just to consider our sanctuary. Just consider it. It's the finest room in which I've sung or spoken so far in Pennsylvania. I love this space. It's grand. This facility in which we are worshiping right now was provided in part by the gifts and the service of those who came before us. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that they excel in this grace of giving. Moreover, the worship that's taking place right now is because of the gifts of those who serve among us. So thank you. Thank you, ushers. Thank you, greeters. Thank you, sound. Thank you, media.
Thank you, man.
Dad. Thank you, all of you, for participating, for being a part of the best and biggest choir in the city. When we give from what we've been given, we actively participate in the blessing of community. And you should know, God's call to giving and service is not about God's need. God is God. If God were in need, he wouldn't be God. It is we who are in need. Our souls. Our souls need us to willingly give to God for our sake and for the sake of our brothers and our sisters. Paul writes, "Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality." Equality. Now remember, Christianity is not communism. No one can force you. No one can force you to pray, to be present, to offer your gifts, to serve. Nobody can force you to do that. But when we actively participate in the blessing of being God's child, we ensure that there's equality among us, especially in our service. When we each give from what we've been given, not what we aren't, we do our part to ensure that Calvary is a vibrant, multi-generational congregation, not just now, but into the future. We're part of what makes it vibrant. Now, in the next week or so, you're going to be receiving a membership vow renewal commitment card. It's long, just like my writing and some of my sermons. A membership vow renewal commitment card, because this series is based around our vows we took when we joined the church. This card is an opportunity to actively participate in the renewal of your membership vows. And at the bottom of the card is going to be this key stewardship principle, which I end with today. Each person should give what they have decided in their hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Beloved, you are in control of your commitment. You can choose. You can participate passively or actively, but I assure you the richer blessing is in actively participating. So my prayer is that you will pray over this card when it arrives. If you do nothing else, pray over the card when it arrives. My prayer is that each of us will seriously consider our commitment for 2023, and then my prayer is that each of us will decide in our hearts what we will give from what God has given us, and that once we make that decision, we will make our commitment and our renewal a joyful one, because God loves it when we cheerfully give from what he's given us, not what he hasn't. And this is God's word. Seriously consider this day for the Church of Calvary and all with ears to hear. All thanks and praise be to the God who blesses us richly. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We are glad that you were able to join us today. We hope you found this podcast a blessing. If you would like to learn more about our mission here at Calvary, you can go to our website, calvaryunitedmethodist.org. If you would like to help support our ministries here at Calvary, you can go to our website, calvaryunitedmethodist.org/give, or mail your gift to Calvary United Methodist Church, 4700 Locust Lane, Harrisburg, PA, 17109. God bless.